Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's a Tuesday edition of OMF with Lou Maloney.
I got nothing to prove. Pay attention. My intention is to bust the move.
Christian Fourier.
I am a nightmare walking, psychopath talking.
And Glenn Ordway.
My body is your party, baby.
Nobody's invited but you, baby.
Cam Newton is back in the media spotlight. Could he also be back with the Patriots?
There's always a chance for everything.
Y'all talking?
I can't say that.
Was Danny Ainge wrong for trying to trade an injured Kemba Walker?
He was trying to get rid of damaged goods.
Now it's time for OMF.
Clang.
On EEI.
Just enjoying the Cam Newton revival tour. It's fun. It's fun.
I tell you what, Glenn. Fun. First of all, how are you doing today? You look
good.
Very
good.
What's up, boy?
You look young and refreshed from your week-long
was
vacation.
Was that to Lou? That wasn't to me, was it? Young?
Okay, it's like, again, this is this weird syndrome with Cam Newton that is driving me insane. Cam Newton was here for 6 months. 6 months.
Yes, he was.
Okay, I'll give him. He got here in July, started in July. They didn't make the playoffs. The season was over. And we are still discussing him like he achieved something, like he did something, like he's a difference maker. It's amazing the amount of airtime this guy is taking up in New England and nationally, I might add. Nationally, the amount of people that are defending this guy and validating him and vouching for him. I mean, we got to go back because I feel like we missed some things, Glenn. We missed some things from yesterday that we weren't able to touch on that, in my opinion, proves my point that this guy is full of crap. As clearly as I can put it.
I'm not sure. Excuse me, counselor. I'm not sure you need to more evidence here today. I think there was plenty enough yesterday.
No, there's more.
By the way, is he going to continue to do this tour? The revival tour to try to get a job out there. It's worse than Tom Brady Sr. the 2 weeks before the Super Bowl.
You
know, what are
thank
we
you
doing
for saying
here?
That. I said actually the point because you mentioned revival, which reminds me of those preachers who travel from town to town. They put up the fence, they put up the tent, and they go, "Who's ready for a miracle? Ready? Who's ready for a miracle?" And they try to save all the souls, and they're just asking for donations. Right? That's who he is. I mean, and he's got so many people fooled. This building fooled.
Yeah, let's get to it. You're right. He's got a lot of people fooled. There are people here in this market that are suddenly saying, "Nah, you know what? Wouldn't
talking
be
themselves
that
into
bad.
It.
Oh
right,
yeah,
it wouldn't be that bad if we
doing.
Had Cam back." But even more hilarious to me is the people, the so-called experts, the analysts outside the marketplace who apparently did not watch every snap in the New England Patriots this past season. So this is where we're going to start here today, because I'm not sure I understand that this is what the Patriot way is all about. Did anybody realize the Patriot way is where everybody yells and screams at everybody? This is Ocho Cinco, who claims he saw this, and then, of course, Cam saw all this screaming that goes on. It's part of the Patriot way.
I seen Bill cuss Tom out. They won on the field. They going at it, cursing each other out.
I sensed a lot of things like that. I wasn't that wasn't me. I'm not an argumentative person. I'm like, "Coach, let's figure it out." Like,
yeah.
And that example that you used, that's what they're like. That's a normal day, like arguing, like boom, 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 boom. And that's the competitive drive. Like, that's how they communicate.
Can someone please tell me what team he's talking about?
New England
what,
Patriots.
What
Patriot
what,
way?
Okay.
You
what
part
what,
of that?
What quarterback is he talking about?
Brady.
Is
there, and what coach?
Belichick.
So okay.
Yep.
So. So yeah, so they yell and scream at each other.
You tell me.
Like, no. Like,
what are we doing?
What type of organization yells and screams at each other as a form of communication?
Well, here's like,
so
what I
wait,
would say.
So it. I'm sorry, Glenn. It happens. Sure.
It happens.
Everywhere. It happens here. Cool. Yes, all the time.
But it's not a constant. It happens every once in a while.
That is an outlier.
Right.
That's an outlier.
Correct.
I have a new name for him. I have some new nicknames. You heard my
nickname? What was your nickname yesterday?
No, I had a good one yesterday. You liked the High Road Cam, right?
I did like the High Road Cam.
Okay, can I give you a couple more before you go to this next
You're
clip?
You're becoming Cam. Okay? Have you noticed
that? No.
You are becoming
I'm
Cam.
Trying
you
to save you. I'm trying to protect people. I'm trying to bring some clarity to it. Okay, here's a Tall Tale. You like Tall Tale?
Ooh, not bad.
Because that was a Tall Tale. That's not true. How about this one? Big Fish. You know those guys that always talk about, about the big fish, right? That's who he is. He didn't catch a big fish. The Greatest Showman. How about that? Because he's always constantly selling
Good
you
movie.
Something. He's selling you something. And he's got everybody convinced that he actually can play.
So did somebody tell him that Tom and Bill, because he never saw it, right, would just scream at each other constantly throughout practice?
Yeah, that's my point.
Because, I mean, he wasn't there.
Nope.
So it just turned into it. Somebody told me, man, this happens all the time. You know, Bill and Tom used to just scream at each other in practice. Do you believe that they screamed each other at practice?
I don't get
I mean, do you think
Lou,
that,
I don't that, get what he's I, talking
you
about.
You tell me. I can envision Bill just being like something happening and being like, oh, Jesus, and he's swearing a little bit and be like, let's go, Brady. You know, whatever. Does Tom sit there and say, F you, Belichick? No, F you, Brady? Or is it just sort of like, a nod and like, we screwed it up? Or like, well, he was supposed to do this. Screaming this is, at one another?
I would say, okay, we say, like, when Bill loses his temper, it's pretty freaking rare. And usually when he does, he takes it out on some sort of device.
So keep playing the game.
Okay, or the ref. He doesn't, he is so calm.
I'm not going to get out there and get in the way.
And he's talking to the ref in that clip. That's him talking to a ref, not his players. He'll get angry and agitated at those iPads and the Windows,
I think he does just the opposite. I think he's
extreme opposite.
Yeah, I think he's silent at times with players and the
so
way.
So what's
he
talking about?
Coaches.
Tall tale.
Here's what he's talking
big
about.
Fish.
Here's what he's talking about. These are two guys when you're talking about Tom Brady and Bill Belichick that are sticklers to detail. That is why they are so freaking successful. Every little detail is important to them. So yes, there's going to be some voices probably get a little loud because you're a stickler for this and that, and other players are sitting there going, I don't understand it. Why are they worried about all the little details? Because that's what makes them great. But the whole idea of presenting it like they're screaming at each other, you never saw that, right?
I'm like, of course.
Apparently Ocho Cinco saw
it. Of course.
I seen Bill cuss Tom out.
Okay,
how is it that Ocho Cinco saw all these flaws and we never saw the fact that he sucked when he was here? Never saw that aspect.
He
of
does.
It.
Okay, there's been, of course there's times, it happens to everybody, but as a general rule, he's not running this business by yelling and screaming and demeaning people.
You can't do it
that's
this
not part of the way they work together.
Right.
So give me the next one.
Okay, so the next one is that they're getting into the whole situation of what you're going to do, you're going to retire, whatever. But nope. Cam is still Superman.
Retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Time is everything. Is it in the near future?
Hell.
I already know.
No. You can't. I can't go out like that.
No timetable.
No, I can't go. I can't go out like that.
Till the wheels fall off.
It's not even till the wheels fall off. I can't go out like that. The arm strength? Come on, man. Somebody just played and he's 43.
I love you.
You talk about you can't go out like that. You feel like you can still do it. You still Superman.
It's my turn to talk?
Hell yeah. What do you think? Is that, like, I'm not, here.
But you got to put yourself in my shoes.
Bro, I hear all that, bro. Yeah. Like, I ain't never been a favorite. Yeah. Going into last year, is he healthy? I just want to finish healthy. Mm-hmm. Now it's like if I'm able to learn his system, like, come on, bro, I can't go out like that. My pride won't even allow me to do that. Listen, bro, there's not 32 guys better than me.
Mm.
So you're asking me, I'm not 32. Like, real talk. Like, I'm like, when you put it like that.
Thank you, Ryan. Okay, I
wanted him to answer that question. Was it Fred Taylor? Because he never spoke in this thing pretty much. Just say, where are you? Like, I wanted a number. I wanted him to say top 10. And then they all could say, damn right you are. I'd say top 5. You know, he's in that group that everybody, I'm sure, would agree with him.
Those are the Cam Newton disciples that are constantly carrying his water.
They're enablers.
There were 32 quarterbacks better than him.
Yes, there were.
But again, so the part that stands out, Lou, and I thought maybe you would have picked up on this, okay, is the Dustin Pedroia effect.
I ain't never been a favorite?
Who are you talking about?
Where was he drafted?
I think he was the number one pick overall.
He's a favorite to win Heisman?
He won the Heisman Trophy.
Favorite to be the number one pick?
He was the perennial. I mean, he was basically Lawrence Taylor.
Is he a favorite
didn't
to win MVP?
I don't think they shied away from voting for him.
When has this guy not been the favorite?
Been the favorite all along.
It's like Dustin Pedroia. Everybody talks about, I'm an underdog. Dude, go back and look at your history.
Nobody thought I could do it.
No, I'm not sure. You were an All-American. Yeah. You were all Pac-12.
Golden Spikes finalist, second-round pick in the big leagues in 2 years.
I'm not sure, though, he's still Superman. Maybe Lois Lane. I don't know. He's not Superman right now. And that's the problem. He is not the same player. But to sit there
and say,
I ain't ever been a favorite. He's always been a favorite.
He's a favorite now.
People want him to succeed.
What it is a one-time great athlete whose career is coming to an end.
Yep.
And this is when, you know, you want to get in a room with all your boys that are going to support you and tell you how great you are, you know, because that's what they do, you know, and nobody wants to realize that it's been since that MVP year, since he's been Superman. The year he won MVP, the year he went to the Super Bowl, that was the last time.
That was it.
He's been Superman. You take the name. You take the personality. You take all that surrounds Cam, and there's a lot. Big personality, flamboyant guy. He's great. He's fantastic. You take all that away, and you just say, okay, quarterback X has done this for the last 5 years. And you would say, how does he keep getting an opportunity to go out and play like that? Like with the way he's played. But you put that, player X now, his name is Cam Newton. Oh, man, you're Superman.
I think it's 32 guys better than me.
6 years.
I think it's funny that he actually mentioned Brady in that same sentence and talked about him being 43. And he's, 11 years younger, something like that. And he says, I ain't ever been a favorite. Well, Brady is the one person that can actually use that sentence.
I wasn't even a starter in college.
Right.
I was rotating in and out. I was a sixth round draft choice.
Right.
And I was the fourth quarterback when I started on a team. Like you can't come out.
This guy's just the opposite.
And Heisman Trophy winner, number one pick, MVP. I've never been anyone's favorite. I'm pretty sure you have been.
We got to get to him talking about Bill Belichick. And I think he's working Belichick right now desperately to get back. We'll get to all of that and get to your phone calls at 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
Ordway, Merloni, Fourier. Back to OMF on EEI.
Coming to Miami. I was driving to Miami, two different cars. Everybody's on the same wave. I'm following this car. I make a phone call to the front car and say, hey, I got to get some gas, but y'all go on. Boom, they still gone. I get some gas, but they're gone. And then by the time I get back on the road, I'm behind. And I was one of the first athletes, football players to catch it. That's where the lack of off season, that's the lack of having time, really being invested in the system, kind of showed itself.
Nice little analogy right there by Cam Newton driving the car. There's only one problem. None of it is factual. Because
it's all propaganda, Glenn.
He would have been factual if he said, you know, he pulled in and then they took off. And he said, I got back in the car, drove 90 miles an hour, and caught up to them in 10 minutes. This from Ben Volen. We were discussing this yesterday. How many practices could he have missed because the team was going through COVID? Belichick had tried every unconventional tactic to maintain some unity during the Patriots' long layoff. One full team meeting was held outside in the bleachers.
Team meeting.
Yes, but the Patriots were able to conduct only one practice plus a perfunctory walkthrough in the run-up to Sunday's game. Perhaps not surprisingly, they took the field flat-footed. Broncos quarterback Drew Lock completed a 41-yard pass on the game's second. So what did he really
This is why that whole analogy, it sounds good.
Yeah,
it
sounds really great.
It sounds awesome.
Ooh, he wins you over. Oh, I tell you what.
I get made for presentation.
The Kansas City game, Monday night football, right? What is a normal week? Is Sunday the walkthrough?
For a Monday night game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's Saturday?
Would be like considered a Friday, but for a Monday night game, maybe just more of the same.
Yeah, so he missed that Saturday, and he missed a walkthrough leading up to Kansas City. But imagine he already had the game plan. the terminology ready for that game, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, practiced all week long, all the way up to Friday. And then the following week, the facility was shut down. And then the following week, like you mentioned, they were on Zoom the whole time. I saw an article from Mikey Reese saying that Cam Newton was on Zoom during the week. And he's trying to, and he's telling these guys that the car just took off without him. Like, the team didn't practice. The team was on Zoom, in which he was able to do. And in a matter of, what, one practice on the field and then a walkthrough before he got to play against Denver?
Changed all the terminology.
The team took off. Josh McDaniels changed everything in that one practice because he was on Zoom. Does anyone believe this?
I don't know about you.
He's got a crowd that's like, oh, man, yeah, I hear you. Yeah, they took off without you. You poor thing, man. How dare they do that? No, they didn't.
It's not credible.
No, they didn't. Like, you basically missed 2 weeks. You came back, you didn't feel right. Mentally, physically, whatever. For missed time. I'll give you a little bit of that. But eventually you get back into the rhythm of things. Like, Christian, you mentioned it, like the first game or two, you sort of sit there and say, okay, the guy didn't do anything for 10 days. Couldn't go out and run. Couldn't go out and throw. Sometimes athlete, wake your body up again. It takes a week or two. It never woke up.
I would say
worse.
It's a hell of a story. If the greatest coach in NFL history would change the entire terminology on one practice, one meeting, he would change the terminology without his quarterback attending it. Does that make any sense to anybody?
This is what this is all about. And the thing that kind of irritates me is that you're forced to kind of call him out. You're forced to call him out, but nobody wants to accept the fact because he's so convincing.
He's likable.
He's so likable, and he's so appreciative, and he's just so good, right? He's just easy to talk to.
He takes the high road.
He's the greatest showman. I mean, he's got even, you know, national analysts, I think, hoodwinked. I think he's got him fooled. He's got respectable guys who used to play the game that talk about the game, like Lewis Riddick. Lewis Riddick, friend of the show. Remember, you know, he knows me, but he thinks I'm just talking out of school, but that's fine. Lewis Riddick is making excuses for him.
And then I think with Cam, you just want him to be able to get to a place where he can get acclimated to the system right away. He was playing catch-up right from the get-go up there in New England. And really, you know, when you add on the fact that he dealt with COVID during the season, it just really put him behind. And he wasn't able to really show what he is really worth at this point in time, and rather where his skill level really is at this point in time. It just didn't work for him. I don't believe he's done. I do believe he still has starting ability, but it needs to be the right place where he can get in early and where he can really show people, look, this is what I have left. This is what I can still do, and they can tailor an offense.
Okay. Another enabler right there.
Another one.
He's blaming everybody else but him. So I brought it up yesterday. Tom Brady, did he not figure out the system in Tampa Bay? Okay, let's take Tom Brady off the table. Greatest of all time. It's probably not a good analogy.
Terrible comparison.
How about Taylor Heinicke, who came into Washington, played a regular season game, played well early in December, had joined the team a week before, and then a month later played well in a freaking playoff game.
See, and here's the thing. Lewis Riddick is full of it because Lewis Riddick's name was popping up, even though he's doing Monday Night Football, for a bunch of these GM openings. Like, you know, the owners were actually thinking and considering hiring him to pick the talent for his team and run their organization. If you ask Lewis Riddick, would he hire Cam Newton to be the starting quarterback of his team?
Hell no.
I'm going to say the answer is no.
No, publicly he'd say yes.
Yeah, oh, but then just, privately, you know, too much money. Right.
But privately, he'd come up with every excuse in the book.
Why would you have to come up with an excuse?
I'd take him if I could, but, you know, this guy fell to our lap, and, you know, I'm happy with the quarterback I have, and this guy was just available, and, you know, this just, it fits our scheme better, and it's my system, and, oh, he'd come up with every excuse in the book. He doesn't want it.
All right, talking about excuses, here's another enabler, Keyshawn Johnson on ESPN.
If I'm a team that has some players that can play, is he a guy? Is he a guy that I would go get? Probably, opposed to a team that has no players. If I ain't got nothing around him, I cannot touch him with a 10-foot pole with a flag on the end of it. I don't want Cam Newton. But if I'm the Chicago Bears and I got some stuff, because when he's had some stuff, he's been pretty good.
When? He had 1 year.
2015. He's pretty good when he had. This makes no sense because I'm not saying that he had good weapons here.
No, we all know
he did not. We all know that.
Worst
on the other hand, if he brought good weapons in here, or Belichick brought good weapons in, he would be shortchanging them about 10 feet in passes.
But see, that's
to
the
be
thing.
In the dirt.
The problem is that we watch this guy every single week. Okay, you do a post game. Christian, you're on TV. I'm sitting in my couch. But everybody, Patriot fans, watch this guy. We say the weapons aren't good. We know the weapons aren't good. But we also see Demir Byrd do a quick little out, and he's standing there wide open, and it goes 10 feet over his head.
Exactly.
Or it's a one hopper. Yeah. Or we see Jacoby Myers running free across the, you know, the middle of the field. You know, and eventually these guys, they did get open at times. They did catch some passes. They didn't catch as many as they should have because their quarterback wasn't accurate enough. So, yeah, they didn't have a tight end. They didn't have anything. We may admit it. But when you watch the games, like, people can sit there and talk about how great he is based on his reputation. I don't think they watched every single Patriot game. And you sat there and said, what is that? Like, what is that throw? Like, why is that his third one hopper right now to a wide open wide receiver 12 yards downfield?
No, you're right, Lou. When you watch him play these games, and I think that's part of the problem, they're not watching
every single game. No, they're just seeing Cam.
He's laboring through these games, okay? None of this is coming easy for him. He is laboring. That is on him. Even when he runs, I thought earlier in the season he was a lot better. Later on, as the season progressed on, he labored when he was running.
But, I mean, Louis Riddick talking about COVID. You know, he was asymptomatic. He admitted it. After 5 days, he's wondering, what am I supposed to feel here? I'm fine. He was on the Zoom. His team did not move on without him. He was doing what his team was doing on Zoom calls. He was part of that. He, as a matter of fact, he kind of got lucky. I mean, with the facility shut down, he kind of got lucky because the team wasn't practicing without him. They were actually on his schedule.
Yeah, they were getting gas with him.
It was almost like they got COVID because they couldn't practice. Yeah. They were all on the same page. He missed one full practice. Mm-hmm. And then you got Louis Riddick saying, yeah, coming back from COVID, he wasn't the same because of what happened with COVID. Well, he missed a week of football. That's what happened with COVID. He was able to do everything the whole team was able to do.
Is there anybody that would feel good if we find out in a few months that Bill Belichick has settled in on Cam Newton to come back as the quarterback for this team?
I'd start looking at next year's draft class.
That would be a gigantic mistake. What's that?
I'd start looking at next year's draft class.
Yes. That would be a disaster.
Yeah. Okay, rather than win seven, can they win six? Can they win five? You know, I mean, because it's just, they're not going to win 11. You know, it's the bridge to nowhere, which is what I'm concerned about.
I get the fact that they changed what they did offensively, even though Cam thinks they've been running the same system for 20 years. I have no idea what he was talking about. And they ran the ball a lot more, a little bit of the RPO. They did some different things. They didn't have great receivers, so they didn't go to that passing game. But does anybody really believe, based on what Keyshawn's saying, if you go out and get great receivers, that suddenly he is going to suddenly just open up and you're going to see a passing machine out there? N'Keal Harry, the catches he made, what did we all say? Wow, an unbelievable catch. Why? Because it wasn't thrown accurately to him. He had to make a phenomenal catch. All right, we'll get into more of this at 617-779-7937. Cam's trying to sell himself. People are trying to sell Cam. Is anybody buying this? We'll get to the Celtics as well because there's an NBA player out there who thinks that maybe your problem is Tatum and Brown. We'll get to all of that and your phone calls. Plus, later on, it's not a game. It's a lifestyle. Big deal or no big deal.
This is WEEI. On Twitter at Glenn D. Ordway.
Who doesn't like fun?
Back to OMF
on WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF, we'll get to the phone calls in a second talking about Cam Newton. There is a breaking story out of Los Angeles right now. Reports that Tiger Woods was injured in a crash in Rancho Palos Verdes at Hawthorne Boulevard near Black Horse Road. You know where that is, Big Fella?
Exactly. I know exactly where it is.
No, fire crews had to use the jaws of life to get him out of the vehicle. The L.A. Sheriff's Department has just issued a release. At approximately 7:12 a.m., LASD responded to a single vehicle rollover traffic collision on the border of Rolling Hills Estate in Rancho Palos Verdes. The vehicle was traveling northbound on Hawthorne Boulevard at Black Horse Road when it crashed. The vehicle sustained major damage. The driver and sole occupant was identified as PGA golfer Eldrick Tiger Woods. Mr. Woods was extricated from the vehicle with the jaws of life, by the Los Angeles County firefighters and paramedics, then transported to a local hospital by ambulance for his injuries. The traffic investigation is being conducted by investigators from the L.A. Sheriff's Department. Wow.
Jaws of life.
7:12 in the morning. Listen, I'm not going to speculate at all.
No, you just
single vehicle rollover.
You hear it. Listen, you just hope nothing's involved, you know, whether it be drugs or alcohol or anything else, right?
Of course.
We saw the history, you know, the little history of this guy, what he went through, and hopefully he was turning things around, waiting for him to get back on the course again. And you see an accident like this, was it just an accident? Was he clean, you know, or was he impaired in some way?
Well, but also, when you start talking about the jaws of life, obviously your car or truck, whatever it is that you're driving, is obviously just compressed to the point where they can't even get you out a window.
Yes, right.
or we don't know about injuries. Or you're injured to the point where they can't move you.
Right.
So,
And listen, people are going to speculate based on, you're right, his history. If you saw that documentary, the two-part, was it two-part, 30 on 30 series?
You just have that visual of him getting arrested, right?
It was scary.
Walking and then in there.
Scary. Yeah, he had no idea what was going on. Right. He was oblivious to everything. And so when you hear a story like this, the first thing that triggered my mind was, I remember watching this documentary a few weeks ago and saying, oh my God, they had video of him when he was picked up that night, and it was frightening. And he was loaded with all sorts of medication and drugs. So we'll keep our eye on that story for the rest of the afternoon. It is a major story developing out of Los Angeles. And again, if you missed it, a one-vehicle traffic accident out in Los Angeles, and the driver of that car and sole occupant was Tiger Woods. He was extricated from the vehicle with jaws of life, and it has been taken by ambulance to the hospital. And as I said, we'll follow it. All right, to the phone calls we go on Cam Newton. Anybody feeling better about Cam Newton coming back this year? This is Brian in the car. Hey, Brian.
Good afternoon, guys.
Hey,
what's up?
I want to make a begrudging, unenthusiastic case for Cam Newton.
All right.
Very unenthusiastic, but trying to be pragmatic. I don't want the Patriots to spend $20 or $25 million on a stopgap quarterback, Jimmy G, you know, Marcus Mariota, et cetera, because the talent level is so bad on this team. I would rather the Patriots load up for bear on defense, find a tight end or a wide receiver, and then go get the quarterback, because I don't think they're going to be worthy of going deep into the playoffs for a solid 2, 3, 4 years.
Yeah, but so, you just said, wait a minute, you just said add a wide receiver and add a tight end. Why are we wasting our time with that? Cam can't get the ball to him.
Well, maybe, I guess those would be more stop gaps. You know, and so if Josh McDaniels is as smart as everybody thinks he is offensively, and you know Cam can't throw the ball, then design a run offense with Cam and clearly the rookie quarterback in those
seven
guys.
Wins. That's what that got you.
Yeah, they did that.
They did. That's what they did.
Right. But I don't want to spend $20 million to do that same thing. I would rather spend, I'm making this up, $3, $4, $5 on Cam, because I don't see anybody giving him a big contract.
Well, listen,
I would just rather reallocate those resources for a year or so.
$20 million. It's like, first off, there's a lot of guys out there. Who is that guy that makes $20 million? If he can throw a football forward at an NFL level, then I think I would enjoy that more. Right? And I disagree. Was it Keyshawn Johnson that said, like, you know, if you don't have any weapons, you know, I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole, whatever it was? I disagree. I think that's actually why he was a fit here last year.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Because if you have no weapons, at least you got a quarterback that can run 15 times for 75 yards. Yeah. At least you got a quarterback that can run 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1, 1st-and-goal from the 1 to the 2. At least you got a guy that can run the football. If you have a good running game, like the Patriots last year, good running game, good offensive line, awful weapons. And you could see where Bill was probably thinking, yeah, we don't have any weapons. So why bring in a stationary quarterback to throw to these guys who aren't that good? I need another threat. And Cam helps me with that threat. If I got a bunch of weapons, like if I had Tampa, man, hell no. I don't want him trying to throw to these guys if I'm going to throw the ball downfield.
Keyshawn's got a total.
He's got it backwards.
Because when he's had some stuff, he's been pretty good.
Now, that was 2015. That was a while back. A couple games in 2018 before he got hurt. No, it doesn't work. I don't know why you'd bring in those weapons. It doesn't make any sense to me why you would do it. Let's go to Justin. Justin's in Providence, Rhode Island. Hey, Justin.
What's up, guys? First time, long time. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, man, I'm sick of these excuses from Cam Newton. It's trash. Christian, you're 100% right, man. This guy's giving excuses after excuses. It reminds you of a Bible salesman, man. I already got a Bible at home. I don't need another Bible. Oh, but this Bible's the best. No, he's selling everybody. He's got everybody fooled. It's ridiculous, man. And my gut is killing me because I think they're definitely going to bring him back because Bill's going to go get some defense and he doesn't have the weapons. He's not going to spend the money. Oh, we're going to see him again. It's going to be, I'm almost crying. It's driving me nuts. I don't want him back. The guy who needs to ship sail, go to another team, man. Bye-bye.
So I do believe that there's a lot of people who were a hard no before this podcast dropped yesterday. And since the podcast dropped, they are kind of recommitting to him. It's like they're ignoring everything they saw. They're ignoring everything that convinced them that he wasn't a fit, not in this system. I would say in any system. I don't think he'll be in the league next year. I don't think he'll be on a team. So if it took him 86 nights to be a Patriot because there was basically nobody else available, and he needs the perfect situation, I don't think it happens.
Can I just say this? He's a tremendous actor. He's a wonderful personality. And I think he will be a great fit for inside the NFL. Maybe a CBS on Sunday morning, up to game time on a one-hour pregame show at noon. He'd be perfect for something like that. He'll wear outrageous outfits. He will say things. He is interesting. He can be funny. You don't think so?
I think he's too full of himself, and his analogies don't make any sense. Like my analogies, they make sense.
Well, Brandon Marshall used to be
full of himself. Analogy. I just didn't think it made sense. I tell you what, no, it's to the point because everybody is like, man, you give Cam weapons, man. You know, all these guys that want to back him up. I'd like to see him go to a good football team with a very good tight end and two wide receivers and a running game, and see what he looks like. I think reality hits. I think all those people that are saying that right now will sit there and watch and go, damn, Cam, what are you doing? I mean, they'll make more excuses for him. It'll be something. It'll be the offensive coordinator, the line. It'll be something. But he's not going to rebound. I don't see a team giving him a shot. And if they do, it won't be pretty.
So here's my thing.
And I don't want it to be here.
And this is why I think he's done also. And a guy that has accomplished as much as he has accomplished, and he's done a lot in a short period of time as an NFL quarterback. He's done a lot. So many quarterbacks would give their left arm to try and reach the levels and the salary that he had reached. So he accomplished a lot. The fact that he's having to resort to all these different tactics, like recruiting these guys on this podcast to kind of validate them, like, you know, validate his excuses. Yeah, it wasn't you. It was this, that, and the other. That's his one of his lines, this, that, and the other. It's like the national analyst kind of validating him also and saying, no, look past all the warts. Don't read into it. That's not the real Cam Newton. Like him basically blaming the Patriot way after a terrible, definition of it. He blaming it just from the way they communicate, for how tough it is. Like everything is way too much. You're trying way too hard to convince me, and it doesn't smell right. So to me, for you to resort to that after everything you've done proves to me that you realize where you're at. So you're overselling it, and it's working.
So Ryan Hannibal, WEEI.com, our buddy, he was one of those, I think, I'm done with Cam Newton. And then I read his piece today. The headline is, why it could be in Patriots' best interest to bring back Cam Newton. He says the quarterback noted the organization and players would be more familiar with him, and he would get a full off season in the system. Mm. naturally it would seem like he would be better than he was a year ago. Here's the only, and then he goes on to say New England went 7-9 with some of the worst quarterback play in the league. So couldn't the team get to a winning record with likely better play at the position combined with adding more talent for Newton to work with? Here's the problem I have with that. If he were a young quarterback, I would say, yeah, Ryan, you're making some sense. But I watched Justin Herbert. How much NFL experience did he have? And he showed promise and did some really good things early on. He had to learn a system. He didn't get that offseason. How about Joe Burrow? We can go with all these young quarterbacks. Taylor Heinicke. Who the hell is Taylor Heinicke? Nobody knew who he was until that playoff game. This is a seasoned veteran, a former MVP who has lost his way. That's what he is. He's not a guy who suddenly, if you give him more time, he's going to get better. Then he goes on to say an argument could be made that the Patriots would be a playoff team with Newton returning and him getting several weapons to work with in the passing game. I think we just responded to that when Keyshawn said the exact same thing. This brings us to the larger point. When it comes to attracting free agents to the organization next month, Newton is more apt to do that than the other potential options via free agency or trade.
That is an interesting. So think about it. Would a top free agent passer want to play with Newton or Marcus Mariota, Mitchell Trubisky, or Jacoby Brissett? He said it's an easy answer, Newton. Ryan, I don't think it's that easy.
No, I don't either.
Okay, and I want to get this right. Doug Kyed, I guess, is the one that I don't want to mispronounce names. Doug Kyed was
the
one.
What did you call him?
No, I just don't want to call him another reporter's name because they get very personal.
Jeffo of The Athletic.
No, I don't want to go there. I'm just saying.
Wow.
So Doug Kyed.
Don't want to make him angry.
Tweeted the similar thing out, you know, that he still has that MVP sort of cachet to him, you know, and I don't know. You tell me. I mean, guys around the league, you heard Hunter Henry wants to go play with a really good quarterback. Like, they might respect Cam Newton and all that he is, but would you rather go play for Cam Newton if you're a wide receiver over some? I mean, these guys, Jacoby Brissett, Mariota, Trubisky.
Here's what they're going to do. I hate to tell Ryan Hannibal. This is what they're going to do. Publicly, they're going to say, oh, yeah, love to play with Cam. Yeah, cool guy. Yeah, cool dude. All this other stuff. Privately, he's going to sit and tell his agent, I'm not going to go to that team with him throwing the football. He's not accurate. Look at the film. That's what's going to happen, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. That's what's going to happen, in my opinion. I don't agree with it. Like, you know, the persona of Cam Newton, no question about it.
They're going to say nice things about him because he's likable.
Yeah. He's got a better persona than any of those guys you're going to mention.
Yeah.
Any free agent out there. Although I do think that Ryan Fitzpatrick carries a little something with him.
Like, maybe he's got a little swag.
People love
to him
this
right
guy.
Now.
Yeah, they absolutely love this guy.
It's the beard.
But still, it's like Cam Newton, he's probably got more persona, more personality than any of these guys, more aura around him. But I think these wide receivers like a Hunter Henry or tight ends like Hunter Henry, I think they look at quarterback play and accuracy and arm strength. And can he get me the ball? Can I be an all pro? Can I be a pro bowler?
And that's kind of so he's like either like an angel fish or he's a Venus flytrap.
I want to hear this.
So you talk about recruiting. So he gives you the song and dance. He puts on a show. He tries to, you know, lots of lights and good speeches and great analogies. He lures you into his little cocoon, right? And he kind of and then he fails miserably because he can't get you the ball. So it's just a trap. So okay, fine. Do I think that Cam Newton has a greater ability to convince other receivers and athletes to come play for the Patriots if that's what it really came down to? Yes, I do. Because he's the greatest showman. He can sell himself. And even though the history shows and tells me that he can't, but you know what? Man, he's convincing. Then I'm going to do it. You know what? Then you'll end up with zero touchdowns, zero passes, zero playoff appearances, and zero playoff wins.
Can I just give you my reason on why people are suddenly switching here and suddenly feeling much better about Cam Newton? Because when you listen to the whole thing, it's four guys, relaxed, open, honest, talking, and it's not what you usually hear. A lot of times everybody's guarded, they say certain things, they're very protective. Now, it's not to say that any of it was the truth. You had a lot of misstatements, stuff that just wasn't true, and guys that were enabling Cam Newton during the process. But I think people liked it. And he, as you said, Christian, is so freaking good at this. He really is good at this.
He'll suck you into his trap, and then
no
next thing you know,
question.
He'll be like, what do you mean?
Well, I'll say this. So, like, the season ends. You don't hear from Cam Newton. Your only memory is him as quarterback. And then you hear him in this interview, and you realize you like him. I think that has something to do with
yeah,
it, too.
It does.
When you take him yeah. talking, you know, was Monday mornings here with Greg Hill or press conferences, and when you distance yourself from seeing or listening to Cam Newton, you start focusing on what he's like as a quarterback. When you see him in that atmosphere and you hear him speak, you realize how much you like the guy, how cool the guy is.
He dope as
so I, that's part of it as well. You know what I like? You know, he's surrounded by a bunch of guys that are hyping him up,
yep.
that are maybe convincing you, the listener, that he's not as bad as he, what your own eyes were telling you. You know, so it's, yeah, you sort of, I don't know, fall into it a little bit.
All right, we're getting some more information on the Tiger Woods accident. Matter of fact, they have helicopters in the area now. We are seeing the car rolled over in shrub. And what, it
looks
a Bentley?
Like a Bentley.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think
can
it
I confirm
is
that?
A Bentley. But
it looks like one of those, tournament cars because it's got the emblem on the side.
Yeah, it's a Genesis Open courtesy
Genesis.
Car.
Genesis.
Okay. Tyler, what did you just say, CNN?
CNN is reporting that Tiger Woods' injuries are, quote, moderate to critical.
Yeah, his agent has now made a
wait,
statement.
That's a
Mark
huge
Steinberg,
gap.
A very big gap.
Yeah, Mark Steinberg has come out with this statement. Tiger Woods was in a single car accident this morning in California. He suffered multiple leg injuries. Ugh. He is currently in surgery.
Wow.
And we thank you for your privacy and support. That does not sound like those are moderate.
No.
When they come out and thank you for your privacy and support, and he's
not just that,
in surgery that quickly.
Immediate surgery.
Yes.
Like right away.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're not going to, it might be broken. Let's take an x-ray, you know, schedule the surgery. We'll have it later, whatever, right? No. Immediately.
Yep.
Having surgery right away.
Again,
that
he was involved in a one-car accident. It was a rollover off the highway, and he had to be extricated from the vehicle with the jaws of life. So,
but just real quickly, because yeah. Tyler just threw this at me, so I guess this would be considered, I guess, decent news that he was not airlifted. So he was taken by an ambulance, which means, I mean, I guess you
could
read
be the hospitals
it.
Close by. Too.
Well, I mean, yeah. the severity of it. Listen, if you're airlifted someplace, I mean, they got to get you there in a hurry.
Yeah, that's scary.
You know?
Yeah, I would agree. That is.
But immediate, like surgery right away and, you know, damage to his legs. Yeah, that's not good.
I'm sure we're going to get more information in the next couple of hours. We will stay on that story during the afternoon. We'll continue to talk about Cam Newton as he tries this revival tour. And we got to hear what he says about Bill. We will get to that as well. 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.